Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Well, another week, another edition of Crusader Talk on the move here in 2023. Caleb Hamill, Josh West with you here on this Monday evening. Glad you could join us. Whether you're joining us live on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 or on demand in podcast form, we're glad you've chosen to join us either this evening or morning or whenever you've chosen to listen to Crusader Talk. This show today is going to be a good one. We have Coach Rhonda Shirley from the women's volleyball team on with us. And Coach, last time that Ben and I were talking to you, you were fresh into the hiring game. You were not even officially the head coach yet. But as of April 1st, you have officially been dubbed the women's volleyball head coach at William Carey. And I think you've gotten a little bit of a better taste of Hattiesburg. Sorry it's a little hotter probably than you anticipated, but glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here. Yes, it reminds me a lot of living in East Texas, so kind of bringing me a little bit back to that. So, no, but it's been great, yes.
You know,
learning all about Mississippi.
I'm sure you are. And Coach, last time that we had you on, we were talking a lot about how you even came into this job at William Carey and how you were brought into the fold by DJ and amazed by our campus. And now that you've gotten a little bit of a longer stay around and have really gotten your feet wet, as it is in Hattiesburg, how have your first few months been in Hattiesburg? How about that?
I mean, it's been great. Obviously, a learning process. I think like anything is, and just kind of learning the area, kind of learning the level of, volleyball in this area and the state of Mississippi, and just, kind of getting to a good grasp of, the support in the area and those type of things, and just the campus, too. So it's been a good time for me to, like I said, just kind of learn and then be able to, when I go into the season, just really be able to focus on, volleyball with my team.
Just to kind of follow up with that, how would you describe the climate of volleyball here in Mississippi, judging after you've been in East Texas and the East Coast as well? How does Mississippi compare?
I know that a lot of the schools, it's a new sport for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say that, it is not as developed as definitely Texas. I mean, Texas is just a prime spot for volleyball. It's up there with Florida and California. And so it isn't as developed, but that is just more of, it's new. To hear a lot of these schools that have just started it. And so it's not like it's not good volleyball. It's just not as developed. But that makes me very excited about being able to kind of get my hands really dirty in it and help build, the culture of volleyball here and really help expand on that and really make it, hopefully, especially in this area, an area where volleyball really does start to excel. And so I think that's just exciting for me on that part of it, because I love the developmental part.
Coach Rhonda, this is Josh West. I cannot wait to work with you this year to cover the sport. I've had a chance to cover it a lot with the NFHS Network through the MHSAA, and I've seen some of that growth, and it gets better every year. And they've gone from, I believe, four different classifications to six, now seven. So it's mm-hmm. growing. Would you say that it is just, how far would you say it's grown in the last 5 years in this state?
I mean, again, I'm pretty new to it, but in hearing from people on just, the growth, like you said, of it, and, talking to other coaches where I've done camps at, it's just from where they have started. I mean, in the small amount of time, I am really surprised at how well it has grown from the knowledge, I think, of the coaches teaching it to, you know, more club programs popping up. And then just also they say, you know, the number of kids that are starting to go out for volleyball, and some of them that are choosing that over, let's say, basketball. So indefinitely, I feel like it's growing at a fast rate, and I hope it continues to do that, because there's obviously a lot of great athletes here in this state and in this area. It's just a matter of, you know, getting them really immersed into, you know, volleyball, and that's something that they really want to continue to do.
Now, one way that you've gotten to see volleyball firsthand in the state is by William Carey hosting different camps throughout the month of June. It seems like you had a very full schedule throughout that mm-hmm. month. Walk us through a little bit about what you're able to see on the court from a lot of different kids that have come through into Hattiesburg.
Yeah, I mean, the first week we had team camps, so we had several different high schools come in through the week, and to me it was just great because a lot, obviously, more area schools, and getting to know the coaches and kind of seeing you know, the talent level. And again, like I said, I was really pleasantly surprised to see, like, some of the athletes. And again, you know, maybe their knowledge of the game isn't quite there, but, you know, that's something that is obviously teachable. But, you know, it's hard to teach that athleticism. You can't really teach that. And there's a lot of passion I can tell from these kids in the game. So it was great just to see that. The second week, we just did a lot of skills camps for positions. And I was pleasantly surprised, too, at how high numbers we had. Because usually when I go in somewhere first, numbers are kind of low. And then, you know, they grow. But I think doing the team camp the first week, our numbers went from after those team camps to a lot of our position camps, like tripled, quadrupled the amount of kids that came back from that. And then we're coming in, you know, from team camp back to the positional camp. So it was great. And again, it just gave me a better idea of, you know, meeting coaches, meeting players, and those type of things. So I'm excited to continue to do that throughout, you know, the next year. And I was able to go do a lot of satellite camps. I mean, my July was kind of spent doing that, too. So it was just great. I love doing camps.
She's Rhonda Shirley. She is the head volleyball coach at William Carey. Coach, it's Josh again. And to follow up on that camp question, it sounds to me like once you got them on campus, once they met you, once they got a little familiar, a little comfortable with what is going on, that you exceeded their expectations. Did you get a lot of positive feedback with the level of instruction that your program was bringing?
I did, and that was great, you know, to hear so many people, you know, refer me to other people, and they would call and say, hey, you know, this team came to your team camp to campus. We weren't able to come. Would you be willing to come to our campus at the high school or wherever and do a camp? So, I mean, it really was great. I had a lot of people ask if I'd be interested in doing a coach's clinic for a lot of the area schools, and I love doing those. So it was good for me to hear that the instruction that they were getting and the things that they were hearing were things that they could implement into their practices and into their program. So it's good. That's really what it's all about.
Perfect segue, Coach, because when you talk to these coaches, and a lot of times you'll have a basketball coach that is learning the sport, for example, mm-hmm. it'll be a secondary sport in the infancy of the program. What are the things right out of the gate that they're needing the most help with?
I think a lot of it is just, you know, the fundamentals, and I'm a very fundamentalist coach, you know, and just teaching, you know, proper technique and really honing in on those things. And, you know, it's hard for these coaches to teach those things if they don't know how to teach them, you know. And so I really enjoyed that part of it, and the coaches, like, really wanting to learn and implementing those things and getting their players to understand that, yeah, everybody just wants to get out there and play. But I always say to them, like, if you can't do the skill, you can't do the drill. And if you can't do the drill, you're not going to be functional in a game. And so I really honed in on that. And I feel like by the end of it, they could see the progress they were making, and which will eventually translate into them passing better balls, setting better balls, hitting harder balls. And so I think that was the main thing. They were just really hungry to learn, you know, proper techniques and fundamentals. And then how can they translate those things into actual drills, game action drills, and then into 6-on-6. So It was good. Again, it was probably one of my most enjoyable summers in a long time as far as doing camps.
Well, we know that throughout talking to several different coaches about the summer camps that they're able to put on, it's a great opportunity not only to get to see the talent, to get to talk to players firsthand, but also to develop some people and make some new connections and friends along the way. We're talking to Coach Rhonda Shirley, head coach of women's volleyball at William Carey University. If you missed out on our podcast earlier this year, talking to her before she officially took the job, you can go back into the archives, and that episode happened on March 13th, 2023. We've been talking a lot about things that have happened over the summer as Coach Shirley has begun her tenure at William Carey. But on the other side of this timeout, we'll talk more with her about what is to come with William Carey Volleyball. We're only 8 days away from the season beginning with the William Carey tri-match. So stick around. We'll talk to her more about the upcoming matches and her returning team players as well. More to come on Crusader Talk in a moment.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back and ready for more here on Crusader Talk. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Michael Mergens punching the buttons for us tonight, helping us stay connected to you. Coach Rhonda Shirley is back with us for yet another segment here on Crusader Talk. And, Coach, we talked at length about what your summer looked like, but now we'll change gears a little bit and look ahead to this 2023 season, your first at William Carey. And for the personnel that joins you in this season, there's only about, by my count and what's up to date on the website, six returning members of the 2022 squad that come back, a whole lot of new faces on this team.
Right. Yes, there is. There are a few of the players from last year that were doing both indoor and beach that I think after having done both for a couple years have decided, you know, they were going to gravitate over to beach only. So we didn't necessarily lose them from volleyball. I'll be coaching them in the spring with beach. So we had some of our returners choose beach only. So, but as far as indoor, yes, six returners. There were a handful of players that the previous coaches had committed, prior to leaving and me entering. And then I had brought six of my own recruits in. So we have very good numbers right now going into the season. I mean, I feel good about it. Still a lot of learning for me as far as, you know, some of the new kids coming in that I don't know a lot about with not having recruited them. And the returners, I'm still learning them because, you know, I've a lot of them helped me with camp. So I think that was great for them to get to know me and me to get to know them a little bit better. But it still will be definitely a learning process, you know, for everybody. But I'm still hoping by the end of the season, we see the success I think we're capable of. We may not see it as early as we would like with the transition, but I'm okay as long as we're, you know, seeing, you know, progress and kind of, you know, those things over results. We just need to see the progress first and the results will come.
You know, Coach, I was talking with DJ earlier today, and I think he made note, and you can correct me if this is wrong, but I believe y'all had a team dinner and meeting earlier tonight as the season approaches. Does that kind of help build the camaraderie and help the players kind of get set together one final time or so before the season begins?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think it's good. You know, we've got a lot of new faces and, just for them just to kind of get together first and have a team dinner and kind of get to know each other. We do a lot of little question and answer things and things I've learned, you know, throughout my coaching career of just kind of breaking the ice and getting them to start talking and learning about each other, because I just feel like that's so huge. It's all about learning, you know, each other. You can't expect to go out there and play with a stranger and think that you are going to be successful. And I do spend a lot of time with my team, you know, on things that don't involve, you know, a volleyball. And so we kind of started with that tonight and then, you know, had a little bit of meeting of just expectations. You know, every coach is different. They've had a lot of success here, you know, but I just know from all coaches, I mean, my best friend's a volleyball coach and her coaching style and mine couldn't be any different. I mean, we are so polar opposites, but we're both very successful. So, you know, I think it's just more about giving them too an opportunity to know what my expectations are, you know, where I'm looking to hopefully take this program, and, you know, hopefully being able to continue to have success and build on the success that was already, you know, put here by the previous coaching staff. And so, I mean, it was good. I could tell when they left, they're very excited about tomorrow starting. You know, there's still some butterflies. They're very anxious. I am too. You know, it's just new for everybody, but I think change is always good. And, you know, I think everybody's approaching it with the right mindset at this point in time.
Coach, historically, you know, shifting gears to having a volleyball in their hands, what's the thing that has come together the quickest that you've seen inside your programs historically? And then what's the thing that is the last piece or two that takes the most time to gel?
You know, I think the first thing is just really getting them to buy in about laying the foundation of the program and helping me lay that foundation. You know, I can see the buy-in already, and I think that they are trusting my excitement about it. And so usually it doesn't take me too long to really get them to buy in to, you know, where I'm expecting to take the program and trusting it. I think a lot of times, you know, I think what is the hardest is getting them to understand that even though the talent is here, they get results driven these days. And I think some of the hardest thing is getting them to understand just because we may not be getting the results we want right away doesn't mean we're not on the right track to success, and not letting them get frustrated in the process. And sometimes that just takes a little bit longer. You know, some of that's just lack of maturity sometimes. They just haven't been playing long enough or been in the college realm to understand that. But, you know, again, usually I can get them bought in. It's like, I think they know the success I've had in the past. Just talk about how successful we're going to be. So I think they think it's going to be so automatic. And getting them to understand, okay, we are going to take our lumps. We're going to have some downtime, like times that are frustrating, and getting through those and them understanding, like, it's all about where we finish and not where we start or where we're at in the middle of the season. So I think that is usually some of the harder things to get them to, like, understand and be okay with, if we're still, like, doing the right things in practice every day.
So, Coach, tell us a little bit about this WCU tri-match that's going to be happening on August 11th.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, actually, it's going to be a little bit more than a tri-match. You know, we ended up bringing another team in. I think Bishop State is also coming in. So, and I'm actually going to split my team up into two because I have the numbers to do it. So, it's going to be nice because I'm going to get an opportunity to, like, see all of my players play a lot. But yeah, so we have Pearl River coming in. We have Bishop State coming in. We have Pensacola State. And I can never say it correctly, and I'm going to have to, you'll have to help me out. But yes. Okay, what you said. And then we're going to have a William Carey Black and a William Carey Red. So a lot of volleyball. So it's almost like two courts doing a tri-match. So it's just an opportunity for all of our teams, you know, not just my teams, but the other teams coming in to just see, hey, what we are working on at practice, is it translating out onto the competition court? And, oh, goodness, I didn't think this was a weakness for us. And, man, we got exposed with that real quick. And so, you know, I think it's just going to be some, you know, good volleyball, but it's just really a time to see where we're at, things that are working good, things that need to be working a lot better. And then also, too, give me an opportunity to really, you know, kind of start putting in a more solidified lineup going into, you know, our first preseason tournament that's, you know, going to count for wins and losses. So I'm excited about that. It's not too far away, but probably by that time they're going to be ready to be off of the practice court and into the competition court. So it'll be good timing.
Coach, we heard you talking a lot about the things that you've been, you know, mentally drilling into them, that they've been buying into about the direction of the program, you know, feeding off your excitement. There's also, like you said, been some warnings about don't be results driven. What's the thing, though, that you've also cautioned them in the terms of, okay, this is the thing that be ready. This is going to be the biggest jump. Is it the speed overall of the game? Is it the transition in from when those teams are receiving the serve into the offense? What's the thing that when they go up in competition, not only at practice, but when they get in those first matches, that they go, wow, especially the young players, this is a big jump?
I do think the speed of the game is always the biggest thing, which I try to have a pretty fast offense, but it can only be as fast as we want it in our gym and who's on the other side of the net. And not until we get across from somebody else do we see, okay, is it the speed that we want? And usually it's still not where we want it to be, especially the seasoned teams that we're going to play, because we're not going to be that seasoned of a team. So, it always seems to be the speed of the game offensively. I also think the first thing that is kind of shocking, I think, especially to new kids coming in, and especially playing underneath me, is probably just more of the dynamics of playing the game within the game. And when I say that, it's just not about, you know, pass, set, attack. I mean, it's about what is our game plan. And if somebody, you know, is shifting from what our game plan was against them in a timeout, like how fast can we make adjustments and who's like ready to make those adjustments. And I've learned that kids are kind of just a little bit like deer in the headlights, a little bit like, oh, okay, like we got to make this adjustment, we got to make it quick, or how much I really do put in scouting other teams and how much we're going to watch film. And I think those kind of things is very eye opening to them. But with time, when they get it, they really enjoy it, and it preps them more for the game. But I think that's going to be a big adjustment for, I would say, a big majority of the team, even the returners, in the amount of time that we're going to put into that. And, you know, I think some teams we're going to play are going to be much bigger than we are. We're not the biggest team out there. And so we are going to have to make up with it with speed. And I've already told them that. Like, if we're not the biggest team out there, the biggest team with athleticism, we then have to be the fastest team. We're going to have to beat the bigger block on the other side with speed. And those are things we're going to have to, like, try to piece together. And that's my job. But I think those in the beginning are going to be some of the things that are going to be a little bit eye-opening to them.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for that insight into the William Carey volleyball team here in 2023. We look forward to following your club throughout the season.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
All right. We'll be right back with more Crusader Talk in just a moment. Remember, everyone, it's dig, set, kill, not bump, set, spike. We had a great conversation with Coach Rhonda Shirley, all things volleyball in William Carey, just a moment ago. If you missed that, you can catch it on demand in podcast form later tonight. Should drop for you there on the website, supertalkhattiesburg.com, or you can find the links through gowcucrusaders.com as well. Back with more, Caleb Hamill, Josh West, and Michael Mergens here in our Supertalk Hattiesburg studio. It was a good conversation with Coach Shirley. I mean, a lot of insight in just a short amount of time that she's already been at William Carey. And we didn't even get into the depth of personnel, but one thing I gleaned from that that I did not expect to hear was the divide between players that have decided beach volleyball is more my thing than indoor volleyball. And so that has caused some personnel to kind of move around just a little bit, but then also open up some doors for more players to come in on the indoor side.
Yeah, that is certainly something that has gained in popularity. We're going to see that get bigger and bigger. Something we were talking about in the break, though, is just the influx of, as we heard, schools in the associations, not only the MHSAA, but the MSAIS, that are adding volleyball or have just added volleyball, or now we're seeing the coaching's getting better at the high school ranks. There's such a more depth of talent at the high school ranks, and you are seeing a lot of basketball coaches in need of post players because of volleyball. Volleyball is just, it is the hit thing right now Mississippi is just one of the states that it is. And so, I mean, I've just seen it. I've had the joy to watch it grow firsthand, courtside, at the high school level. And I remember when it was Class 1, 4A, 5A, 6A. Now you're going to have 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 5A, 6A, 7A this year. So that's 14 teams. That's seven champions that are going to go after those gold balls this year in volleyball. I mean, that has come so far in such a short amount of time. And I'm impressed with the callbacks, if you can say that coach is getting. Please come to a camp. Please come to a clinic. We want to learn because we've got such an interest in it, and they see an opportunity to kind of get out in front of the competition and have a chance to win big, win championships at the high school level. So that's only going to further feed into William Carey that seems to be striking while the iron's hot.
You know, I can even put a year on it to tell you how much the MHSAA has grown in volleyball. I covered the championships back in 2017, fall of 17, three classes that had champions. And I think Brandon was the one at the top. You know, some of the 6A schools, as it relates to football, now a lot of them 7A, were obviously the class three. But even classes one and two could be anything from 1 to 3A. Like, there was a huge gap kind of in that middle ground. It was only specialized schools down there at the bottom for a lot of them.
So it's class 1, 5A, 6A when you caught 17? Was that right?
So back in 17, they made their own classes. It's almost kind of like how slow pitch softball was for a while.
You pulled everybody together.
You just pull everybody and, you know, make classifications that way. So there were just classes 1 through 3. And so it was probably divided evenly, like football's class 1 and 2 were the bottom class, 3 and 4 were the middle class, and 5 and 6 were the top. I couldn't put that to an exact science and tell you that's law, but there were only three championships at Newell Grissom at Mississippi State when I covered them.
Wow.
So that is how long, that was only 6 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, you knew it was getting bigger, but then this year, not only were the championships, you know, 1A through 6A, they were filling out the arena, and it didn't matter what classification it was. And you had student sections like you have at basketball for volleyball. It's incredibly fan-friendly. It's rally scoring. Every play, a point is being scored. I mean, help me out here. Top of my head, is there another sport? Every play, a point? Help me out.
Not in that regard that I can think
of. No, I mean, so it's every single play. And so if you step away, you're missing something. You're missing scoring every moment. And so it's incredibly, incredibly entertaining.
Yeah, the first time I was ever paid for any type of announcing was for public address in volleyball. And that is why that sport in particular has a little bit of a, you know, a soft spot in my heart. You know, I grew to love just the energy of that sport.
Yes.
As well. I mean, that's, I think, the biggest takeaway is the energy of it. And the fans, once you get in there, it locks you. Like, it sucks you in, and you are committed to it. Because, like you mentioned, you have, for a lot of schools, basketball-like student sections that come out and show support and are fully committed to cheering their team on to victory. It's awesome to see.
Softball's got dugout energy, but
right.
Sometimes that can be a little over the top, to the point where you can enjoy that, you can be a fan of that, but then when that's going on in the opposite dugout, that can still kind of grate on you a little bit. There's almost a little gamesmanship in that energy, meaning that maybe at times it can be a little contrived. Not in volleyball. It is just naturally there. So were you doing that at the collegiate level? Was that your first?
That was my first official announcing gig.
So
I did some volunteering type stuff here and there, but that was the first time I was paid to do it.
So you were hooked instantly.
Oh, yes.
So was I. I remember the first time I got to call the MHSA Volleyball Championships. And so you basically gave yourself a crash course in lingo. You watched some broadcasts. You talked to the coaches. You know, you did your homework. And then you're there. And it was better than you could have possibly imagined, just because it's one of those sports where you didn't have to fill a lot of downtime. There is no downtime. And it is high drama, especially when you get into that fifth set. When you go into that fifth set tiebreak, it is intense. And then you're going from 25 points to 15 points. And so you get to those intense moments so much quicker in that fifth set. Again, you owe it to yourself as a sports fan to get to a volleyball match, and you'll be a fan. You will be a fan. Now, that might not be your number one sport, but you'll be able to then be flipping through the channels, and there'll be one, and you'll notice, oh, what set are they in? Oh, they're in the fifth set. It's kind of like, for me, hockey. I don't know about how you are in hockey, but it's OT in hockey. It's sudden death. You're stopping for a second if you're flipping through the channels. So, again, it's legit, and it's something you owe yourself as a sports fan.
You know, I caught my very first NHL hockey game just a couple months ago. I had a little training event that I had before my son was born back in February, and it was one of the most fun events just to witness. I was there just by myself, didn't have any friends that I was with hanging out, but just to be there in the arena and watch all that was a whole big blast. San Jose Sharks were able to come back from a 3-goal deficit and come back and win that one. It was crazy how quickly that lead was trimmed down and overtaken. Caleb Hamill, Josh West with you here on Crusader Talk. Talking all things William Carey, and had a little volleyball flair to it today. Looking at the roster, we talked about this with Coach. No, Siri, I cannot try that again. Love live radio. But anyway, I talked about some of the different players that are returning here in 2023. One of those is Elena Anderson. Get this, she was third most in points in 2022, highest amongst returners here in this year. Also, had the most blocks out of anybody on the front line for William Carey. And to have her back as a force on the indoor volleyball side, it's probably going to come up very big. And backing her up also is Reagan Huff in the points category. She had the fourth most last year, so therefore second most among returners. So there is some production that is returning. It's not just, you know, freshmen that didn't get a lot of playing time in the years previously. There are some highly producing players that are back here for 2023.
It says a lot, again, about Coach Shirley, about Rhonda and what she brings to the table, because she comes in, and especially with the ease in which there is to transfer now, you come in, you want to get to know the new coach, and you want to give her a shot, and does it gel, does it work? And it was multiple players that made that choice to say, hey, you know, this is a transition. We see the vision. You heard about the buy-in. When you're getting that in a transition and the coaching change, you know, you're playing for somebody now that you weren't recruited by, and it's a whole new thing for you, that says a lot. Again, like I said, in a culture where it's almost expected that you're going to transfer, when you're able to click with that new staff, and William Carey means that much to you, the program and your teammates mean that much to you, that says a lot.
And it means a lot also that William Carey has a facility dedicated to volleyball. You know, we've talked on and off about facilities in William Carey and how much of a deal that is to recruits and to a fan base as well. To see that William Carey has doubled down on volleyball and made its own complex just for indoor volleyball to practice and play, meaning they don't have to share a basketball court and have that set up and torn down every other day for a basketball game versus volleyball game or practice. It really shows recruits that William Carey is committed to not just maintaining but improving and elevating volleyball year in and year out.
No, it does. You know, you see that across Hattiesburg. I mean, it matters for programs when you have that. I don't think you can put a value on that. I think it's so great. I think that says so much to a recruit to come in and see that, because we're still at a point where it's not the norm across the board, especially at the NAIA level. Again, it just goes to the fact we mention every week, so why not throw it in against this week? That shows you William Carey is after national championships. This is they want to be a national program, and Coach has laid out some of her vision with the team. She wasn't quick just to really kind of go on the radio this early and talk about those lofty goals, but I promise you those things have been discussed inside, and she came here because she sees the direction of the entire William Carey program. She sees what DJ is aiming for across the board, an all-sports national trophy, you know, and so and every team competing for them individually, that type of facility gives you the opportunity to do that.
It'll be a little while after the tri-match, now quad match, or I don't even know how many matches you want to call it now, but that will occur on August 11th. That will be the battle between PRCC, Pensacola Christian, Itawamba Community College, William Carey, and then Bishop State, as Coach Shirley unveiled to us. Crusaders will be on the road for the rest of August. They won't return home until September 5th, in which they'll host Tougaloo College, and then they'll begin their SSAC run throughout September and October.
Did you see where they're struggling for the cause at? West Palm?
I know.
I mean, it's tough.
Absolutely.
But somebody, tough. They, you know.
Somebody had to do it.
Somebody had to do it. West Palm Beach, Florida. It's going to be tough on them.
It'll be a great season ahead of the Crusaders, and we look forward to seeing what Coach Shirley brings to the table here in 2023. Wish her and the Crusaders all the success in this volleyball season, and we look forward to talking about it on future Crusader Talk episodes as well. When we come back, we'll dot the I and cross the T. I'm trying to be like Mitchell, and that is not working out for me. I just need to be myself. Crusader Talk continues when we return.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Wrapping it up with you here on this Monday of Crusader Talk. Glad you could be a part of it. As Caleb Hamill, myself, and Josh West talking all things volleyball today. A couple more things to reference as well. Had a little bit of a news break over the past week as our own Abigail Wickham was selected by the SSAC as their AO Dewar Award nominee. That's a scholarship award given at the NAIA level. And so she will be, again, the SSAC's official representative as far as a woman is concerned. And she has a chance to represent William Carey on that stage and possibly get that scholarship. It is a tough race and tough qualifications to get that, Josh. And I don't know that I would have qualified, even if I were an athlete, for all of these things that they have to meet. You have to maintain a 3.75 and above GPA. You have to have obtained junior standing academically, and you're selected based on your scholarship, character, citizenship, and playing ability. I don't even know if I meet one of those qualities at all. I mean, it's the GPA one already knocked me out, but even the rest of them, because playing ability, my wife would tell you, I couldn't catch a ball if I had a net the size of Texas to catch it in. But nevertheless, congratulations to Abby Wickham. She was actually a guest of ours on Crusader Talk several weeks back. You can catch that episode on demand as well if you look back at the March 27th episode as we previewed golf ahead of last season. Wonderful interview. She was fantastic to have on. And when I mentioned those different scholarship qualities, character, citizenship, and playing ability, she had a hole-in-one in one of the postseason tournaments. And not to mention that she is on fire for the Lord and will automatically tell you about that first, no matter what your first question is to her in an interview. She is fantastic. And again, encourage all of you out there, go back and listen to that interview if you missed it back earlier in 2023. But that's a big bit of news for William Carey as far as athletics are concerned. But the countdowns are on, Josh. We are 11 days away from volleyball beginning on August 11th. That's a Friday. And then soccer season, man, it's down to under 20, 19 days until both the men and women's teams get underway. Both basketball teams are in double digits now. Men will begin in 89 days with their game against Southern University of New Orleans. And then the women will begin in 94 days against Ave Maria. So we're getting close, not just to volleyball, but all the other sports here in the fall/winter as well.
Did you hear about the R.J. Stinson news?
No. Keep me updated. What's to know?
Okay, so here we go. So William Carey baseball standout R.J. Stinson was named the 2023 Woodstock River Bandits MVP. Okay, so how about that? Pretty good. Also received the 2023 Top Hitter Award as well as the All-Time Hitter Award. Stinson, .341 batting average, 11 extra base hits, 19 RBI, and 33 runs scored. So RJ just doing what RJ does, just putting up monster numbers.
Yeah, he was the leadoff hitter for them for a majority of the summer season in the wooden bat league that he was a part of. And he was on that team last year as well. Man, he was cranking out extra base hits left and right last year as well. No wonder he is due this honor here in 2023. It's going to be awesome to see him return for this final year coming up with the next baseball season as well. We talked to Coach Hallford last week, and you know, we were having our own musings about, oh, well, how many more years does Coach Hallford have left at William Carey? And we all said, with this team he's got returning, even there's some pitching to, you know, possibly find solutions for the guys that he has returning, whew, they can make another postseason run.
Oh, there's
especially with the hitting.
Well, and just with the pitching, you can find a way to piece innings together and you know, find, you know, certain things that guys do well and be able to build that staff. But boy, it's all about how you can hit it, and these guys are going to be able to swing it.
Yeah. So, finally, just kind of random thoughts here as we close out the show. You know, a couple weekends ago, I was a part of the giant craze that was Barbenheimer. We did the double feature, my wife and I did. Got a babysitter and were able to watch both of those movies. And I got to tell you, you know, Oppenheimer was the bomb, and Barbie was Barbie. You know. Now, honestly, it was kind of just a fun, lighthearted comedy to follow up such a existential crisis-filled Oppenheimer movie that preceded it. So it was a fun weekend and all that, and I think there's some fun takeaways from both of the ones that we got there to see.
Don't be fooled. Oppenheimer is definitely rated R.
Definitely rated R.
Don't think I'd see it again. Don't think I'd have seen it knowing what I know now going into it. But it'll be a really good watch on TBS or TNT. It'll be a really good watch for network television.
That's a good way to put that. And I tell you, if you ask my wife, Barbie was one of her more fun ones, just because there were so many fun one-liners in there as well. And I think maybe also, too, comparing it to what we saw right before was probably a breath of, you know, fresh air and lightheartedness. Now, not a kid's movie either. It's rated PG-13 for a reason, because it's meant for more of a mature audience. But, you know, that was kind of a fun little thing that I took away from a couple weekends ago. Just thought I'd throw that out there. We also had a really fun time at a broadcaster's kickoff gathering. We'll have to recap that sometime.
It was good.
Future.
It was really good.
All right. Well, for our entire crew, we want to thank Coach Rhonda Shirley for joining us earlier. And I want to thank Michael Mergens as well for being our producer tonight at Super Talk Hattiesburg. For my partner, Josh West, I'm Caleb Hemmel. We'll see you next time on Crusader Talk. Until next time, good night and go Saders.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.